Welcome to this press conference. In the past week, the number of community cases has increased to 60, and among them, 40 so far are linked to the Tan Tock Seng Hospital cluster. We are testing all patients and visitors who had been at Tan Tock Seng Hospital on or after 18 April, including discharged patients and all 12,000 staff on campus. So far, Tan Tock Seng Hospital has completed testing all inpatients, and the results have all been negative, other than those whom we have already announced. Yesterday, we completed a second round of testing of these inpatients, and the results are pending. Some of them may be incubating and may become positive in the days ahead, and we will continue to monitor them. Testing of Tan Tock Seng Hospital staff is in progress. So far, we have completed testing around 10,000 staff. We'll give an update as and when the results are out. Our aim is to leave no stone unturned and try our best to find infected cases as early as possible. We are carrying out surveillance testing for individuals who have been to public places that the cases have visited during the infectious period. This can help us detect cases quickly so that we can ring-fence them and prevent further transmission in the community. I understand many turned up at our regional screening centres yesterday and had to wait their turn to be tested. I thank Singaporeans for their understanding, and we will continue to improve our process. Over the past week, Tan Tock Seng Hospital has progressively implemented measures to reduce the risk of further transmission and free up more manpower to take care of our patients, including ceasing admission of new inpatient cases until further notice. For patients seeking specialist outpatient clinic services, Tan Tock Seng Hospital will defer the appointments of stable cases and initiate teleconsultation and medication delivery where appropriate. Other institutions in the healthcare family are stepping up to ensure continuity of care for Tan Tock Seng's patients. I thank them for their support and for rallying together to help one another. The Ministry of Health has worked with public and private hospitals to activate various capacity management and load balancing measures so that patients requiring care will continue to be attended to. For example, from 3rd May, some hospitals have started deploying doctors, nurses, and allied health professionals to assist Tan Tock Seng in attending to their existing patients. Even as we are aggressively tracing and testing for this cluster, we are also preparing the healthcare system for any potential rise in community cases and emergence of new clusters. We hope it will not happen, but we must be prepared for it. For example, the Ministry of Health has asked all our hospitals to defer non-urgent surgeries and admissions, as well as non-urgent SOC appointments until further notice. Where applicable, teleconsultation and alternative care arrangements will be put in place until the situation stabilizes. Our healthcare workers are on the front line fighting the virus every day and caring for our patients. I hope Singaporeans will rally around them, especially those from Tan Tock Seng Hospital and the National Centre for Infectious Diseases, and show them the well-deserved support that they need. A kind word of encouragement or thoughtful deed goes a long way to boost their morale during these difficult times. The cluster at Tan Tock Seng is a reminder that the situation can change and escalate quickly. Beyond this cluster, community cases have also risen over past weeks. We therefore need to step up efforts to keep the community safe and break the chain of transmission by reducing interactions in the community and in the workplaces. The multi-ministry task force will therefore put in place additional measures from 8 May to 30th May. And my co-chair, Minister Lawrence Wong, will provide more details in a short while. We will continue to monitor the situation very closely. Depending on the local COVID situation, we may introduce more measures if there's a need to do so. Vaccination continues to be an important strategy in our fight against COVID-19. The COVID-19 vaccine is effective in preventing symptomatic disease for the vast majority of those vaccinated, but it does not eliminate the risk of infection completely. Locally, we have seen some cases who have been infected despite completing the full doses of vaccination. But because of vaccination, these cases are either asymptomatic or had mild symptoms, and none has required oxygen so far. Therefore, vaccination remains an important tool to help lower the risk of infection and severe disease. These cases are also a useful reminder that vaccination is one out of a suite of public health and safe management measures that need to work in tandem to reduce the risk of transmission of COVID-19. We must expect that our journey during this COVID-19 pandemic will not always be smooth sailing, and that we will progress always in one direction. There will be periods when we need to tighten our measures, and we need to be nimble in our response and be prepared to adjust measures as the situation evolves. The additional measures will only work if everyone adheres to them and continues to be socially responsible. The next few weeks will be critical for us. So let us all play our part and keep one another safe. The silver lining is that we have successfully brought our cases down before, and we can do it again, so long as we work together. Let me just say a few words in Mandarin. 大家下午好。 近日社区病例增加了许多， 我们所以我们必须加强防范措施， 才能够保障社区的安全， 阻断病毒的传染。 跨部门工作小组因此从 5月8号 到 5月30号 将实行额外的措施， 调整群聚人数的顶线， 也提高了在家办公的比例。 黄迅才部长待会儿会进一步的向大家说明。我们一方面加强防范措施，另一方面也必须继续鼓励国人接种疫苗，因为接种疫苗是我们对抗疫情的一个重要的策略。冠病疫苗有助于接种者在感染的时候避免他们出现严重的症状，当然接种疫苗不能百分百的避免一个人被感染。 本地已经有一些病患虽然已经完成了所有所需的疫苗剂量，但还是被感染了。但是正因为他们接种了疫苗，所以他们当中有些人是完全没有症状的，另一些人的症状则是轻微的。到目前为止，这些病患也无需额外的氧气供应，所以接种疫苗仍然是一个非常重要的环节，有助降低人们对受感染和出现 严重疾病的风险。这些病例也提醒了我们，接种病苗、疫苗是我们一系列公共卫生和安全管理措施当中的其中的一环。这些措施必须同时进行，才能够发挥作用，才能降低病毒传播的风险。所以我希望在这里再一次的鼓励大家尽早去接种疫苗，特别是我们当中年长的，因为他们所面对的风险最高，所以要趁机 在及时去接种疫苗，保护自己，保护家人，让我们一起来努力控制病情，保障大家的安全。接着下来，让我邀请我们的医药总监，Professor Kenneth Mark，向大家讲解近日的这个病情的情况。Prof.
Thank you very much, Minister. As of the 4th of May, 2021. The Ministry of Health has preliminarily confirmed 5 new cases of locally transmitted COVID-19 infection, all of whom were detected from our proactive testing of patients, visitors and staff at the Tan Tock Seng Hospital or their close contacts, and had already been placed on quarantine. And based on our investigation so far, the cases are in the community and there are no new cases in the dormitories. In addition, there are 12 imported cases who had already been on stay-home notice upon arrival in Singapore. So in total, there are 17 new cases of COVID-19 infection in Singapore today. We're still working through much of that details of these cases, and further updates will be shared via the press release that we will issue later tonight. We have been performing phylogenetic testing of all COVID-19 infections, which we had obtained in Singapore, which had sufficient viral samples. As of the 3rd of May 2021, we had detected 29 local cases with either variants of interest or variants of concern identified. This includes 8 local cases with the B1351 variant, sometimes known as the South African variant, 7 local cases with the B16172 variant, and this is also known as one of the Indian variants, 3 local cases with the P1 or Brazilian variant, 3 local cases with the B16171, another Indian variant, and 1 local case with the B1525, and that's a UK variant. There were also 7 other cases with the B117 or UK variant. In addition, there were 4 reinfection cases with the B1351 or South African variant. Of note, 7 cases in 3 of our local clusters have the B16172 or Indian variant. And these viruses isolated in each of the clusters have been found to be phylogenetically distinct. Now, this means that there are other variations that have been detected in the makeup of these viruses in each of these clusters, which are different from each other, suggesting that the clusters are not linked. 5 of these cases are part of the cluster at Tan Tock Seng Hospital. 1 case in another cluster was the IC officer deployed at Changi Airport Terminal 1. And a case in the 3rd cluster is a cleaner deployed at the CCF at Tuas South. And further details, again, will be provided in the press release this evening. We have not completed the phylogenetic testing of all cases that we have, and we're likely to see more viral variants identified over time. All necessary public health action has been taken promptly to isolate and ring-fence all these cases. And given the possible increased transmissibility of new viral variants, it is necessary for us to take tighter measures to mitigate further risk of spread in both our healthcare institutions and in the rest of Singapore. The presence of these viral variants of concern amongst our local cases affirms our strategy to vaccinate all healthcare workers and prioritise vaccination for older Singaporeans. Had we not done so, the Tan Tock Seng cluster would have been significantly larger at this time, and the likelihood of that cluster getting out of control that much greater. This is therefore a reminder to all of us that we should get ourselves vaccinated and protected when our time comes, and we cannot afford to be complacent. I looked at the 40 cases that we had reported in the Tan Tock Seng cluster. 8 cases who had been vaccinated were either asymptomatic or exhibited very mild symptoms, and none required oxygen therapy. Of those not protected by vaccination, 7 of the 20 had need of oxygen therapy. And we are aware that 1 patient, unfortunately, has passed on. Based on the early phylogenetic information that's available to us, the cluster is due to a viral variant, but the vaccine appears to have done relatively well against it. In those tested and had received the full vaccination, in our testing, they had demonstrated evidence of antibodies to the spike protein, which demonstrates a good response to vaccination. But as Minister has shared, vaccination does not prevent you from getting infected 100%, but it will safeguard you from getting a severe infection, and it provides some protection in limiting further transmission. We're still not out of the woods as far as the Tan Tock Seng cluster is concerned, and we remain vigilant in looking out for more cases amongst patients who remain in the hospital, among the staff at the hospital, and in those who are presently under quarantine. The measures that will be announced in a short while will help reduce further our transmission of infection in the community and help us return to the situation we enjoyed for several months at the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021. And we can all do our part by being disciplined in our mask wearing and adherence to safe distancing measures. Thank you.
Good evening. As you know, we have been continuing to monitor the international situation carefully. And globally, the virus situation continues to worsen, especially with new variants that are more infectious. The new cases are rising in many countries, especially in the South Indian continent, but now they are spreading also to Southeast Asia. So far, we have kept our borders tight with a stay-home notice or SHN regime of 14 days for travelers coming to Singapore. When we saw new variants from specific countries, for example, the United Kingdom, South Africa, and India, we lengthened the stay-home notice or SHN for these countries to 21 days. It's not because the new variants have longer incubation periods. In fact, there is no evidence that the new variants have long incubation periods. But the purpose of lengthening the SHN at that time was to minimize the risk of having more variant cases leaking into our community. Since then, the global situation has worsened, and we are seeing new variants, not just from these specific countries, because the variants are likely to have spread all over the world. So we have to tighten our border measures further, and we will make two additional moves which will take effect from 7th of May 2359. First, we will lengthen the SHN duration from 14 days to 21 days for travelers coming in from higher risk countries or regions. Second, where it comes to the definition of travel history, today our border measures are determined based on the traveler's recent travel history in the past 14 days. So likewise, we will now extend that to the past consecutive 21 days. So 21 days in terms of your travel history, and then when you come into Singapore from a higher risk country or region, the SHN will likewise be extended to 21 days. We are adopting this more stringent border measure up till the end of May. Beyond at that time, we will do a further review depending on the global situation and our local situation, and we will continue to update and fine-tune our border measures. So that's the first set of changes we are making around our border control measures. Within our community, we have also taken several steps to tighten last week to ring-fence the cases and to control the spread. And as you have seen, reported in the last few days, we've picked up many cases that are linked to the Tan Tock Seng Hospital cluster. Both the Tan Tock Seng Hospital cluster and the ICA cluster, incidentally, are also variants associated with the Indian mutant, as you have heard just now from DMS. The new variant strains have higher attack rates, they are more infectious, they are causing larger clusters than before. We have tried our best to ring-fence the cases through contact tracing, but we must assume that there are still hidden cases out there in the community. And we must also recognize that we are dealing with a new variant or variants that are more infectious and are likely to cause larger clusters. So we need to tighten our measures within our community too. And we will do so from the 8th of May to 30th of May. It covers several key events and public holidays. Mother's Day is coming this weekend, Hari Raya next week, Vesak Day on the last week of May. So I recognize that this will cause considerable inconvenience to everyone, but I hope we all understand why we need to put in place these tighter measures. Let me summarize quickly what these tighter measures are. First, the current permissible group size will be reduced from 8 persons to 5 persons. That means that when you go out, whether it's for a meal, for social gatherings, no longer 8 persons, 5 persons. Likewise, the cap of distinct visitors per household per day will be reduced from 8 to 5. We had earlier said that individuals should have keep to 2 or less social gatherings per day, whether visiting another household or meeting with family or friends in a public place, so that still remains, but the group size will be reduced from 8 to 5. Second, we will require more people to work from home rather than go back to the office. Today, up to 75% of employees who are able to work from home may be allowed to return to the workplace. We will tighten that from 75% to 50%. Third, we will reduce event sizes across the board for a whole range of different events. So live performances, for example, we had allowed up to 750. We will now bring it down to 250. Pre-event testing will be required for all attendees of these events if there are more than 100 attendees. So the cap is 250. If you have 100 persons, there is no need for pre-event testing. If you go beyond 100, the cap is 250, and pre-event testing will be required for such events and performances. Likewise, for congregational and worship services, the same would apply. The cap is 250. If you have not more than 100, then there is no need for pre-event testing. But so long as you go beyond that, you are limited to 250, and pre-event testing must apply. In addition, we had earlier allowed congregational singing in religious settings, but we will now suspend that particular measure. For weddings, we are applying a slightly tighter restriction because in a wedding setting, the risks are higher. People are gathered together without masks and eating. So the maximum cap remains at 250 with pre-event testing. But if there is no pre-event testing, then we will apply a stricter cap of 50 persons, not 100, but 50 persons. For funerals, attendees will be limited to, on the day of the burial cremation, they will be limited to no more than 30 persons. That's down from 50 persons. And for the days of the wake, it remains at 30 attendees at any one time. For spectator sports and participation sporting events, as a new requirement, all such mass participation sports events will be suspended and no spectators will be allowed. Next, we also recognize that there are some settings which are of higher risk. This is from international experience. It's also from our own local experience. And such settings are typically where there is a high density of people who are unmasked and in close proximity with one another, often for prolonged periods. The good example will be settings like indoor gyms and indoor fitness studios. So we will close such indoor gyms and indoor fitness and health studios during this period of heightened alert. Outdoor exercise activities and programs may still continue, subject to a class size that's smaller than before. We used to allow 50. We will now reduce that to 30 attendees in total with safe distancing measures in place. We had also earlier announced that trace together only safe entry will be implemented from 1st of June. That's where you enter public venues with a high throughput of visitors. You use the trace together app or token to enter these venues. So the start date was originally planned for 1st of June. We will now bring that forward to 17th of May. Effectively, when you look at the range of measures, which I've just given a summary of, the measures will bring us back to phase two for a few weeks, from 8th of May to 30th of May. This is not a circuit breaker. We certainly hope not to have to invoke another circuit breaker. But we have proposed quite a stringent and very tight set of measures so that we can respond robustly and preemptively to the latest set of latest outbreak of clusters and do our best to snuff them out early and reduce the likelihood of having to impose more drastic measures down the road. So we seek everyone's cooperation to comply with the latest set of rules, not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of it. So, for example, even though the start date of these measures is set on 8th of May, and that's to give businesses, enterprises, organizations time to adjust, we asked everyone to start, doing your part with immediate effect. Starting tonight, try to scale back your activities as much as possible, scale back your social interactions, and stay home to the extent you can. Meanwhile, for those who are medically eligible, we would strongly encourage you, as Minister Gan had said just now, to get yourself vaccinated, get your booking slots early, as soon as possible, and get yourself vaccinated. We have been able to bring down infection rates. We have been able to keep the infection under control before. We can certainly do it again, working together, and get back on track with our reopening plans. Let me just say a few words in Mandarin now. 大家下午好。 本地最近出现新的感染群，我们也正在关注情况。因此，在上个星期，我们已经采取措施，尽力控制病毒散播。但由于发现来自不同国家的变种病毒可能已经在社区内散播，我们因此必须进一步采取行动，以更好地控制这个更容易传染的变种病毒。我们将收紧安全 管理措施再次回到解封的第二阶段，这包括聚会人数从目前的8个人减到5个人，所以出去吃饭的时候现在只可以允许5个人。回到工作场所的总人数将从75%的顶线下调至50%，大型活动的人数顶线也将下调。 更多活动也必须进行活动前的检测，例如婚宴只要超过50个人，所有宾客及新人都必须在婚宴前接受检测。此外，会展活动和现场表演的人数顶线也将从750人减少至250人。健身室、室内体育馆 都必须关闭。人们还是可以在户外运动，但总人数不能超过30人，而且必须保持安全距离。这些安全管理措施将从5月8日开始收紧，直到5月30日。安全管理措施的收紧难免会带来不便，但为了国人的安危， 希望大家能够体谅及配合。我也想提醒国人时时保持警惕，也要负起社会责任，尽量留在家里，减少外出。同时，我们也想鼓励国人尽快去接种疫苗。只要我们继续共同努力，团结一致，我们一定能够控制疫情，继续安全的
Thank you. Now we have questions from the media.
Thank you, ministers, DMS. Members of media, press materials have been sent. Please note that all materials are embargoed until after the end of the press conference. We will now begin with the Q&A segment. Media agencies, please remember to use the raise hand function on Zoom if you'd like to ask a question. Do also remember to unmute before asking your question. Kindly note that we will only take one question per media so as to allow more to participate. May we now have the first question from SD. Timothy, please.
Thank you, ministers, GMS. Now, Minister Wong earlier mentioned that we certainly hope not to have to implement a circuit breaker, and I can understand that sentiment. But the number of unlinked cases right now is about the same as when we first entered the circuit breaker. We currently have about 10 active clusters, almost on par with what we had when the circuit breaker was announced last April. Given that the circuit breaker did work the last time, why are we choosing to tighten measures in a phased approach rather than taking a full measure of another circuit breaker? And given that the situation has been worsening over the last few weeks, will Minister Gan consider extending his stay in the MTF or at least staying on an advisory role? Thank you.
Well, we are monitoring the situation very carefully. And if you look at the indicators in terms of unlinked cases, and more carefully in terms of this, what we are picking up from the Sentinel surveillance, I wouldn't say that the situation is where we were before we entered the circuit breaker last year. Our public health experts who have been monitoring this very carefully would liken it more to the early phase when we entered into the COVID-19 outbreak and we were seeing sprinkling of community cases throughout our community, right? Maybe more like the situation February, March, rather than right before the circuit breaker. So there is a qualitative difference in the situation assessment by our public health experts. That's one. Number two, we also have far better capabilities today compared to then. We have more testing capabilities. We also have better contact tracing capabilities where we are able to move in faster, identify the potential close contacts and even the wider ring of our possible exposures and get everyone tested so that we can more quickly ring fence the cases and prevent further spread of the virus. So I think if you look at where we are today, it is not quite the same as the situation before the circuit breaker. We think we are able to snuff out the current outbreak of clusters and bring things under control. But as an additional preemptive step, we are taking this move that we have just described, bringing the whole suite of measures back to phase two and taking a much tighter posture overall. And we believe that if we do that and if everyone cooperates from now to 30th of May or end of May, we have a good chance of bringing cases down and getting things back on control.
Thank you. I think it's important for us to clarify that we have not ruled out the possibility of a circuit breaker. Certainly, we hope that we won't get there, and we must do what we can with this set of measures that we've just announced, and with the cooperation and support of all Singaporeans, I think we probably will be able to avoid having to get to a circuit breaker situation. But we cannot rule that out, and that is why we will continue have to remain vigilant and monitor the situation and adjust our measures as we go along. Just now, you also asked whether I'm going to stay on in the multi-ministry task force. I have to say that we have scheduled for me to change, to move on to a Ministry of Trade and Industry. But I have been discussing with my co-chair, Minister Lawrence Wong, as well as the incoming Minister for Health, Mr. Ong Ye Kung. And we discussed how we can ensure continuity. And we have agreed that we will continue to work together as a team. The three of us will continue to be involved in the MTF, and we will continue to share and support one another as we go ahead. So I think not to worry, even if I have been moved to Ministry of Trade and Industry, I will continue to work with the other two co-chair in order to make sure that there's continuity in the work of the multi-ministry task force.
Thank you, ministers. Can we have the next question from Chow Pao? Tsu Peng, please.
Hi, good evening, ministers and DMS. This is Zhi Peng from Zhao Bao. Firstly, could the ministers assess how serious is our current situation? And also for the situation in Tan Tock Seng Hospital, may we know why is the transmission so widespread? Is it because patients and visitors were not wearing masks in the wards, as it has been reported in several media interviews? And my last question, since these tighter measures would last till 30th May, would this affect our travel bubble arrangement with Hong Kong on 26th May? Thank you.
I must say that we take this current situation very seriously, and it is a serious cluster that we are seeing, and not just one cluster, we have several clusters emerging concurrently. And therefore, that's why we have to introduce additional measures to prevent further spread of the transmission. And we hope that all Singaporeans will also take this seriously, and let's work together. These measures are by no means easy, and I'm sure it's quite imposing or many of us, some of the activities have to be cancelled, postponed, or scaled down. And many businesses may be affected. They have to make adjustments. And therefore, we don't take this lightly. But I think if we work together, we will be able to keep the situation under control. I'll ask DMS to talk about the situation in Tan Tock Seng specifically.
Thank you, Minister. We have been studying this, and we continued our epidemiological investigations. These are not completed yet, so we will not be able to give you a definitive response at this stage. But we are looking at various possibilities. Of course, you have mentioned one. Is it because of not wearing masks or a lack of discipline in maintaining discipline in infection control? Well, that is one possibility that we always look at. But we did note that there was a clustering of cases really around one single ward. That's 1D, 1 Delta, 9 Delta or 9D. And we are exploring the possibility that there are other local influences, particularly related to the ward, that may have also influenced to a super spreading event occurring, leading to these cases. So we are studying the possibility that there may be issues with the airflow and ventilation in the ward, among various other hypotheses that we're entertaining. So until the studies are complete, we will not be able to give a definitive response, but we are exploring all possibilities and we're taking precautions accordingly as we manage existing patients admitted in Tan Tock Seng Hospital.
On the question of the air travel bubble, I think we mentioned the last time around that there's a set of indicators that we use to decide whether or not the bubble will proceed or whether or not it will be suspended. That's at the sort of very measurable set of indicators based on unlinked cases. But beyond that, both sides, Singapore and Hong Kong, continue to remain in touch. We will monitor the situation and we will review and assess whether or not there will be any changes and make give updates in due course.
Thank you, Ministers, DMS, members of media. Just a gentle reminder to ask only one question so as to allow more to participate. Can we get the next question from CNE? Deborah, please.
Hi, good evening, Ministers and DMS. Thanks for taking my question. So my question is for Mr. Wong. Now, you've made it very clear that this isn't a circuit breaker, but what are the indicators that the government would be looking at closely and what levels must they cross for us to return to circuit breaker days? For instance, are we expecting any tightened measures for schools? Thank you.
There will be some tightening around the school sort of based measures, be it the suspension of the school games as well as some tightening of the safe management measures that will be put in place as part of this return back to phase two, which we are putting in place from now to 30th of May. And that one, MOE will release the details separately. As to whether or not these measures are adequate, whether we might have to go further, as Minister Gan said just now, we never rule out the need for tighter measures or even the possibility that we might have to go back to a circuit breaker. But based on the assessment of the situation, based on where we think we are today, a very the clusters that have formed, the cases that we have seen, we think these measures are already these measures that bring us all the way back to phase two are already a very strong preemptive move that potentially, if we do it well, potentially can arrest and snuff out the hidden cases that are even in our midst. Well, I mean, there is no guarantee, of course, that this will be sufficient, so we will have to monitor the situation over the next few days and weeks. If there are more unlinked cases, if new clusters emerge, and we all know that based on the experience so far, the cases that we are seeing popping up are due to the new variants, they are more infectious, and larger clusters are forming. As compared to, say, months ago, where we did have unlinked cases, but then you would have one or two, and they would stop there. You wouldn't have such big clusters. This doesn't seem to be the case more recently with the ICA cluster and the Tan Tock Seng Hospital cluster. We hope we will have contained these clusters, and with the new measures, we would be able to slow down the spread. But if new unlinked cases continue to pop up, new large clusters continue to emerge in the coming days and weeks, then certainly we will not hesitate to take even more stringent measures, even the possibility of having to enter another circuit breaker down the road. But let's try our best to avoid that scenario, and let's all do our part first to, as I said, comply with the new measures, the latest set of measures, and do it not just following the letter of the law, but do it in the spirit of it. So do our best to minimize our social interactions and activities and stay home as much as possible. That will certainly help reduce the chances of new cases emerging.
Thank you, Minister. Can we get the next question from Reuters? Chen Lin, please.
Good evening, Ministers and DMS. So currently, out of all the infected person in TTSH and ICA clusters, how many are fully vaccinated and which vaccine brand they took respectively? And does the latest outbreak in Singapore shed any fresh light on the vaccine's ability to cut transmissions? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. I have information with me concerning the Tan Tock Seng cluster. I don't have all information about the cluster around the ICA officer, but we'll try and give you some information in due course. Of the 40 individuals that we have identified associated with the Tan Tock Seng cluster, we've had 9 individuals who are fully vaccinated, and these are mainly staff in the hospital. And as I mentioned, 7 of them are staff in the hospital, 2 of whom are patients, all of whom were relatively asymptomatic or had mild symptoms. There were 24 individuals that either were not vaccinated or had at most 1 vaccine dose. Of these, 3 were staff members, 14 were patients, and 7 were either visitors or caregivers associated with patients who had been admitted into the hospital. So that gives you that total of 40 that were present. They were vaccinated with a mix of the 2 different vaccines. As you know, we vaccinate with either the Pfizer vaccine or Moderna. The majority of people who were vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine, but there were at least 1 individual, I remember, I'll have to check the further details, but at least 1 of the individuals had a Moderna vaccine administered.
Thank you, DMS. Can we get the next question from Wan Pao? Kang Wei, please.
Hi, Minister and DMS. This is Kang Wei Wan Pao. As previously shared, some cases in the TTSH cluster, actually some have carried the Indian variant. And we also see that there's numerous confirmed locally transmitted cases who have returned to Singapore earlier in the year and were only tested positive during departure. So would the minister want to give like a review if the closure of border could have been done sooner? And if the ministry is looking at people who have returned since early this year to go for either voluntary or compulsory COVID testing as well to do a more preemptive check. Thank you.
Can you repeat the second part of your question? I didn't quite catch it.
Because there has been a lot of cases that have been tested negative when they came into Singapore but tested positive during departure. So would there be any action taken to preemptively maybe ask them to go for either compulsory or voluntary COVID test to see whether we have more cases in the community without knowledge?
Got it. Thank you. Well, on travel, I think we should again look at the broader picture. Unlike some large or resource-rich countries that can more or less shut their borders for a long time, Singapore cannot afford to do so, certainly not for a prolonged duration of time. Why? Because we are small, we do not have insufficient resources, we need migrant workers to build our homes, we need migrant workers across a wide range of essential services for our own needs. We need migrant workers to care for our elderly. And so it's really very hard for us to close our borders permanently. Instead, we have always taken a risk-based approach in managing our borders. from the start. How do we do so? Number one, we control the inflows of arrivals. So if you look at the situation today, say from January to now, the overall number of inflows have been about stable, sometimes a bit more, sometimes a bit less, but overall, it's been about stable. In fact, it's been coming down. This was even before we started restricting arrivals from India. We have already been very tight to the point that the backlog of applications from companies and from potential employers here in Singapore has been growing significantly, considerably, and to the point where that, you know, many projects have been suffering from delays, as all of us know. And more recently, when we restricted the flow of workers from India and from the entire South Indian continent, including Bangladesh, it means considerable delays will be added to all our projects. Some of our housing projects, BTO projects, may now well be delayed up to a year or more. So it does come at considerable cost to Singaporeans. Number two, beyond controlling the inflow and keeping it very tight, as we have been doing, and then even more so recently, we have always had a stay-home notice regime. So the migrant workers coming in or the inflows coming in do not come in without any isolation. They come in, they have to serve a stay-home notice regime. And we have been progressively tightening the regime over the last few months, not only recently, but even in the past. For the workers coming in the construction, marine and process sectors, we already put in place a 21-day SHN before today's announcement of extending the SHN across the board to 21 days. The workers in the CMP sectors were already serving a 21-day isolation in the SHN facility and the onboarding centers. And we were testing them more regularly in order to pick up the infected cases. Thirdly, we prioritized the vaccination of officers who were working on our borders and checkpoints in order to minimize and reduce the risk of transmission. So we have put in place all of these measures from last year all the way till now. But despite these measures, we know that there are leaks into the community from time to time. We knew that this risk could happen. Even, for example, in a country like China, where they have also very tight border measures, I read a report recently where they said that the Indian variants had likewise leaked into several cities and have been picked up in several cities. So the point is, we continue to keep our border measures as tight as possible, but we cannot rely solely on border controls. We have to make use of other tools at our disposal: testing, tracing, safe management measures, and now vaccination. And if we do all of this well, then we can control the spread of the infection in our community. And the same work will then happen for the question was asked about cases that came in earlier, much earlier. They completed their SHN, tested negative. But when they were going back to whatever countries they came from, when they did a pre-departure test, they tested positive. We don't quite know what these cases are, because there are two possibilities. Number one, they could have been infected within the community. It's quite possible that they picked it up within the community because, you know, the virus still circulates in the community. They could have picked it up. Number two, it could be an older infection, and so they are intermittent shedders, right? And they were negative at the point of exit from SHN, but when they returned to their country, they tested positive because they are intermittent shedders, so less likely to be infectious. So there are a range of possibilities that could apply. We are examining all of these possibilities. We are continuing to make sure that our SHN facilities are tight, but at the same time, we have to make sure that within the community, we take all the necessary precautions and safeguards, which is why we are now making this additional move to tighten our community measures.
To extend Minister's reply, we've also been looking at any potential situation where we might be missing cases that may come in. Although we have a very robust SHN isolation testing regime at this stage. So one example of a study that we've launched is looking at recovered travelers, who recovered cases, who are travelers coming into Singapore. We've not discounted the possibility that some of these recovered travelers might in fact have reinfections and therefore bring that in and pose a threat to us. So a study is in progress right now looking at recovered travelers to see whether any of them, in fact, are in this category of reinfections. We've previously picked up some of such cases. But so far, in those that previously had passed through us and have been categorized as recovered travelers, we've not picked up any other signs of a recent infection. So it appears as if so far, up to this time, that concern is there. But we've not actually seen other cases now coming out beyond those that we've already picked up.
Thank you, Minister DMS. Can we get the next question from Channel 8? Su Xuan, please.
Hello, good evening, Ministers. Xuan here. With regards to the TTSH cluster, so MOH actually encouraged individuals with possible exposure to get their swab test done, but it's not mandatory. However, some companies have made it mandatory, and that's why we see a lot of employees rush to get their swab test yesterday and cause a very long queue. So is MOH going to make this mandatory where so there's no misalignment of directive to all these possible exposure individuals? And also about the Shangri-La dialogue, which will take place in June. So it's only 4 days after our new measures validity. So is there any adjustment or any to that date?
Thank you very much for your questions. I'll take that first question first. Indeed, we've invited anyone who might have visited the hospital to come in. These are people who are at lower risk. The only risk exposure is the fact they had visited the hospital. In fact, everyone that we identify as at a higher risk, for example, they've come in, they've gone into the wards, they visited the wards of concern, they are caregivers or visitors or specifically or patients in that ward, we've already placed them under quarantine. And indeed, as we pick up these additional cases, they're all people under quarantine. But we understand that we have many other people who are worried, anxious, even though their risk is low. And this is the reason why we also invited them to get themselves tested, if only to assure them that despite the fact they had visited Tan Tock Seng, they are okay. There's no need to make this mandatory, but we would allow them to come forward to any of our regional swab testing centres or PHPC clinics which can do swab testing, and they can go to any of these centres and get themselves tested. Those whom we've already identified with that sort of increased risk simply because they had visited the hospitals at the relevant time periods would have received a message from us inviting them to come forward. Indeed, as they come forward, as they identify themselves, we would perform that test without any additional charge. And this is really to give them that peace of mind. With respect to companies making it compulsory to their employees to get themselves tested because of this same risk, we don't think it's necessary to make it mandatory from our point of view, but we understand that there are some companies that want to give further peace of mind to their employees and ask all of them to do so. We certainly wouldn't object to it, but it's not necessary at this stage for all companies to make this mandatory.
With regard to the Shangri-La dialogue, or for that matter, any other events that are going to be planned in the coming months, I think they will just have to monitor the situation very carefully and stay up to date based on the latest advisories and guidelines, because the situation is so fluid. It's moving, you know, by the day, by the week. We really don't know what will happen in the next few weeks. It may worsen, we may have to do more, in which case, you know, some of these events may have to reconsider the proposition of doing it physically, or it may well improve, and then, you know, we may be able to exit after the 30th of May and then get back to something closer eventually to phase three. So because it's fluid, it's uncertain, we are keeping in touch with all of the organizers, providing the latest information, and then likewise the organizers in due course will have to consider the options available based on the latest situation, and they will, I'm sure, provide updates to all the attendees.
Thank you, DMS Minister. Can we get the next question from today? Peiting, please.
Yes. Hi, Ministers. Maybe understand, earlier you mentioned that the investigations are still ongoing, but maybe understand whether there was any particular issue with existing SOPs at Tan Tock Seng Hospital that led to the cluster's formation. Secondly, we also heard that there were some hotels that had some staycation guests that told their staycation guests to cancel their reservations in the coming month. Because they are saying that they are assisting the government in COVID-19 efforts, maybe find out more whether hotels are affected. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In the initial investigation so far, we have not identified any specific breach in processes and protocols that Tan Tock Seng had put in place and required its staff to carry out. But of course, investigations are still ongoing, and until we complete those investigations, I will not be able to give you a definitive reply to that particular question. It's a bit difficult for us to comment about several guests cancelling their staycation stay in local hotels, and that could be for a variety of different reasons. Indeed, sometimes it could be that they have other work commitments that have now suddenly arisen. They could be participating in the efforts to help to manage the outbreak, but without further information, it's a bit difficult for us to tell. Certainly, we've not picked up any indicators to suggest that there's now a deluge of cancellations occurring in our hotels. And at this stage, no signals that we're getting that this is a problem.
I think maybe the question was misunderstood. We are trying to understand whether there is a directive to hotels to get their guests
sure.
to cancel their staycations.
I understand. Well, what we are doing is really to build up sufficient SHN capacity, especially now that we are extending the SHN duration to 21 days. So SDB all the agencies that are overseeing this SHN facilities are, I'm sure, engaging the hotels. This is ongoing. The key requirement, though, is not just about the hotel saying they are interested in doing SHN, but we are also making sure that all the stringent requirements, the precautions, the security measures, the control measures are in place before new hotels come forward to serve as SHN facilities. Because we also know that it's not just about longer is better. It's also about what happens in the hotel, and if the measures are not tight enough, you can easily have leaks in an SHN hotel. So we are working through the process of discussing, engaging the hotels, making sure that we have sufficient capacity, and ensuring also that the infection controls and the precautions and security measures in these hotels are in place.
Just to answer this, I apologize if I had misunderstood your question earlier. But Ministry of Health is working also with some of the hotel groups and with Tan Tock Seng Hospital to support them, because some of their staff have indicated that they would appreciate perhaps some support for accommodation at this time, as they're working additional hours supporting the work to control the outbreak. And they want to have some peace of mind knowing that they can perhaps stay away from the rest of the family members on an abundance of caution, not that because they have an increased risk to them, but really to give their own family members some peace of mind. Also, there have been some reports we hear of healthcare workers being told that they're not welcome after their landlord found that they're working in Tan Tock Seng. And this is a concern for us, because these workers are well, and they have committed a lot of time and energy towards looking after patients in Tan Tock Seng Hospital at this stage. So we endeavor also to support them, making sure that they have support and accommodation through this difficult time when they're being called up to do much more than what they would normally be expected to. This is something where we as Singaporeans can also pull together to show support for healthcare workers. This happened again last year when we all came together to extend our appreciation for people who have been working long hours without complaint in the hospitals looking after patients, both with and without COVID-19 infection. And we ask that you also show your support then to Tan Tock Seng Hospital and to their workers and also their welfare, which is very important at this stage.
Thank you, Minister DMS. Can we get the next question from CNA Digital? Jalila, please.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Many of the additional measures being announced today take effect in a few days' time. If the risk is already here, why not implement the changes immediately? And does the current situation mean there is a need to accelerate the vaccination program?
Well, as I said just now, when you make these changes, there will always be some adjustments that are needed. Businesses will have to make adjustments. So we are giving some time for them to make the necessary adjustments. But we don't have to wait for the new rule to kick in. As I mentioned, all individuals, all of us can do our part and start minimizing our own activities and start to scale back, stay home as much as possible. So that's a call out to everyone. Don't have to wait till 8th of May. Even starting tonight, we can all already scale back our activities. And the more we do so, the more we stay home, the better the chance of reducing the spread of the infection. As far as the vaccination program is concerned, we will continue to do as much as we can. We have never held back our vaccination. Right, so long as supplies come in, we are rolling them out as quickly as we can. So the only the key to get more people vaccinated is not so much on the supply side, but really the take-up rates. And that's why we also encourage everyone who is medically eligible to step forward if they have not done so, get a booking slot as soon as possible, and get themselves vaccinated.
I should also emphasize that while we are effective date is still a couple of days away, we should not go out and try to celebrate and try to squeeze in and have a big powwow before the measures come to effect. So as Minister Wong highlighted, we should begin to exercise caution because the virus doesn't really respect rules. The virus will not wait until the effective date. So therefore, do what we can to minimize the risk of transmission. If we can stop, cut back our social activities, cut back our social contacts, all the more better. So I encourage everyone to exercise caution and vigilance even as we approach the deadline of the implementation of these measures.
Thank you, Ministers. We will now take the last three questions. Can we get the next question from ARD German TV? Sandra, please.
Hi. Have you thought about implementing a measure that China already has, which is asking all incoming passengers to present not only a PCR test, but a blood test as well, so you can check on antibodies?
Actually, we have been doing that even earlier, not just today. We've been doing that earlier, particularly for the workers, the migrant workers coming in the CMP sectors, right? Construction, marine, and process. Because this will enable us to determine the level of antibodies, particularly for those who have been infected before, then we know, so get a better sense of their status. So we have already been doing that, and we will continue to do that for incoming travelers so that we are not only relying on one test, which is the PCR, to test for the presence of the virus, but also to test their antibody level.
But you haven't asked that any other passengers. It's just the migrant workers who do that at this point, right?
That's right. So we are studying and we will consider whether or not to extend that further.
Thank you, Minister. Can we get the next question from Tamil Murisu? Venga, please.
Good evening, Ministers. So since the additional travel restrictions were put in place for the Indian passengers, are there any numbers for the numbers of Singaporeans or PRs trying to come into Singapore? And are there any further plans to help the situation in India? So today, the Indian cases crossed the 20 million mark. And last week, 256 oxygen cylinders were given. And before that, the Indian Air Force had actually come here to take four cryogenic tanks as well. So are there any further plans to help the India COVID situation? Thank you very much.
I don't have the specific on the numbers, but they have come down significantly after we have restricted travels. Now, there will still be occasional few coming back, and mostly entirely now because of the restrictions, only returning Singaporeans and PRs, very few, because the flights have also been curtailed. Like I said, the numbers have come down. But if you talk about before the restrictions were put in place, like just to give a context, the numbers were always very stable, right? And a large proportion of the flows from India were in the construction, marine, and process sectors. And that's what the profile was like. And then after we put in the restrictions, we tightened the inflow initially, and then we restricted all long-term pass holders and short-term visitors, that number has just dropped down quite significantly. In terms of the situation in India, our hearts go out to what's happening there, and we recognize that it's an important issue because no country is safe until all of us are safe, and therefore we all need to do our parts to support one another. So to the extent that we are continuing in touch with our Indian counterparts, MFA is certainly in touch with them, and to the extent that we can help, we will certainly do so.
Thank you, Minister. We will now take the last question from Shinmin Daily News. Gig Ling, please.
Hi, Ministers. Okay, so my question is, because I see from press release that there's a serial number for the reinfected cases like RI16, RI17, RI18, RI20. So I guess there's some kind of serial numbers being given to these reinfected cases. So how many reinfected cases do we have now? And then are we now considered, can we already consider Singapore now is back to phase two? Yeah.
Thank you very much for the question. I don't actually have the final number on number of reinfected cases, but we can make that available after we check and get a more accurate figure. We have a system of numbering all our cases. You realize on a daily basis when we issue our press releases, there will be a numbering system that comes on, and there's a numbering system for those who are tested positive via PCR tests. And when we have imported cases coming in, we have a format for looking at them and here and also for reinfected cases. The numbers when we present at press releases may not necessarily come in running order. And that's partly also because as we identify cases, we give a number immediately. But as more details come up, as the other test results become available, we may realize that these are old cases, these are not really reinfected cases, but we don't necessarily then restart the clock. We just remove those case numbers assigned to that particular patient, and then the next available case number is assigned to the next person who fulfills that criteria down the road. So whatever you see on the press release, you know, if you see a number that says 20, 21, it doesn't necessarily mean that there are 21 cases, but it just means there were 21 individuals where numbers were assigned, and then subsequently some of these cases may have been rescinded as more information became available. But the exact numbers, we'll go back, we'll check, and then we'll make that available to the media.
On the second part of the question, yes, we are effectively back at phase two. Based on all the measures that I've just described, 8 to 5, the new limits, the new restrictions, effectively we are positioning our measures as going back to phase 2. Like I described earlier, there is a view that based on the assessment of the situation today, the fact that we had gone out very quickly last week to tighten up, to identify the cases, the close contacts, to get everyone tested, that the range of measures we have already put in place might be sufficient to contain the clusters. That's one view, right? And then based on that, we might be able to control the spread already. But we do not know, we will never know whether there are cryptic hidden cases that may have escaped our net. It's not possible to be 100% sure. So what we are proposing today and what we are announcing today is, in our view, a robust and preemptive move to tighten up across the board, reduce movement across the board, reduce interactions generally. And we believe that if we all do this well, we will have a much better chance of reducing the spread of the virus, breaking the chains of transmission, and controlling more outbreaks of clusters in our community.
Thanks. I just want to conclude by saying that the situation remains quite fluid going forward over the next few weeks. So we need to continue to monitor the situation. And we also have to expect that some of the measures need to be further adjusted as we go along, depending on how the landscape, how the situation evolves. So I urge the Singaporeans to bear with us, to be patient with us. As and when we will the situation evolves, we will need to continue to adjust the measures, and we will keep Singaporeans updated on the situation as soon as we know of the development. So thank you very much once again for joining us at this press conference.